What does thinking new thoughts have to do with Christian growth? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host and study guide, author, and we continue our series on revival and reformation. Our particular theme for this week is Reformation, Thinking New Thoughts. My conversation partners are again Dave Thomas and Daryl Bigger, both from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Let's now take that question. What in the world does thinking new thoughts have to do with Christian growth?
Well, the whole notion of growth implies some kind of adjustment, change. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to grow, there's going to be some newness there.
Why wouldn't you just go back to the old stuff that you know works?
Well, Alden, I look at it this way. If it is in fact true that the human heart is wicked, that it is overcome by sin, then the whole idea of revival and conversion and growth is going to lead to something new and hopefully improved. Mm-hmm. And if our journey is one from being caught in sinfulness, to if it's a growth toward righteousness, there's going to have to be a whole lot of new thoughts, funk, if you pardon my English.
Is it possible that thinking the right thought at the right time can make a dramatic change in our behavior by providing new motivation, for example? Can you think of any good examples?
Well, I'm intrigued by some of the ads that are now out that are intended to make smoking more difficult. I saw one on television the other day where a woman is lying in bed. She had a stroke, and her son is taking care of her, and she's able to talk, and she talks about how she had a stroke because of her smoking. Well, it's pretty hard to watch that. You know, you cannot, the Marlboro man doesn't work when you're lying in bed and somebody else is having to take care of you. So I do think that thoughts, and I mean, that's intended to be confrontational. You know, they're not covering anything over with anything but harsh reality. And that can change behaviors, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There is a mindset about growing and learning new things, opening one's mind, as Paul says, talks about in Romans. The mindset moves you away from standardizing what you've already heard toward exploring new things.
Mm-hmm.
So that openness toward discovery is in itself frightening for some people.
Now, in my experience, probably the most amazing transition in my thinking started with the question, if the Father loves me, why do I need a mediator? Okay, it's at the seminary. And I found in John 14-17 the astonishing truth, which I should have known, that Jesus was God in the flesh. Now, the reason that was so amazing for me is that this picture that I'd grown up with Jesus pleading his blood to the Father on my behalf, had given me the impression that Jesus was my friend,
mm-hmm.
but that God had to somehow be convinced. Sure. In short, I had a picture of a reluctant God with his arms folded and say, well, if you argue long enough and hard enough about Thompson, we'll let him in the side door. Next, see.
Mm-hmm.
but when I discovered that God himself came down here, took human flesh, and lived and died for me, that was just a huge change and a motivating factor, a kind of God like that that I could serve.
Mm.
So for me, that's always been a vivid memory, and it's one which was a very positive thing.
Mm-hmm. We're shaped in many ways by the authority figures in our lives, and in some ways those are not positive formations.
But Alden, there's some good... I'm
not suggesting that was the case in your childhood, but I'm saying as human beings, maturing and growing, we are limited by our relationships, and we need to be open to understanding God in new and growing ways.
Alden, you had, in our informal conversation, you had pointed to some passages of Scripture that I think should warrant some reflection.
Let's take a look at the three that I think are most crucial in terms of focusing on this idea of the transforming power of new thoughts. Romans 12:1-2, I'll read it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Key phrase there, transformed by the renewing of your minds.
Well, in many cases, we presume that education is a matter of learning what's already known. And again, for me, it comes back to the notion of discovery, that if all we do is memorize what we've already been taught, we cut off the possibility of delightful insights that we may have overlooked. And your story about understanding God in a new way is a perfect illustration of that.
But you know, you mentioned memorization, and that's an intriguing one, because if you're just learning stuff to be learning information, it's deadly dull. But what I have discovered is that when I memorize for other purposes, and one of the things that I quite frankly do, if I know someone who is a devout and active Christian, and they find a particular passage of Scripture that's helpful to them, maybe puzzling to me, but is helpful to them, I have often taken that passage of Scripture and worked on memorizing it. Because in the process of memorizing, for me, it takes a long time, but about the 95th time through, I begin to see things that I hadn't seen before. See, Dave and I don't see necessarily eye to eye on the doctrine of the atonement. I think Dave mentioned one time that he thought, well, his experience began when he realized the sinfulness of human beings. He's now expanding his understanding of the goodness of God, whereas he commented that in my experience, my starting point was the goodness of God, and now I'm deepening my own understanding of the sinfulness of humankind. I think there is some truth to that. What I've done, Dave, for example, is take Romans 8, which is a wonderful chapter, and in the process of memorizing that, I have a much deeper understanding of those who find that chapter to be a powerful part of their Christian experience. So this transforming of the mind, memorization can do that. If it's memorization just to get or to check things off, I think it's not going to work.
Yeah. But Alden, in this passage in Romans 12, it talks about not being conformed to the world but being transformed. There's a juxtaposing here of the agenda of the world, which I take to mean the a society and social protocols that are not oriented to God and maybe don't even admit to the existence of God, versus those who are trying to become renewed to be like God. And so this process of growth is one that has to happen, and I think it does happen unless we interrupt it and prevent it from coming, you know.
And I think we need to be absolutely brutal how different the Christian values are to the culture around us. That's why I think the fruit of the Spirit, which is a passage that I've worked on memorizing, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity. Where do you find that in our surrounding world? See? That just flies in the face, everything around us, see? But if I will immerse myself and say, this is what I want to become like, this is what Jesus teaches me, following Jesus, then it helps me to not be conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewal of the mind. Let's go to the next verse. Philippians 4, 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Why only think about these things?
What do you have in mind, Dave?
Well, I don't know. It just strikes me there that I could wish that that passage, which is profound, had a bit more of a punch.
But not, I mean, just thinking, doing, huh?
Well, something, you know, a strong exhortation. But, of course, I understand the point here. If you think about those things, the thinking might become transformative.
Mm. Yeah, as we think in our hearts, so are we. Mm. So we do change and mold ourselves to what we contemplate.
But how do you like verse 6? Do not worry about anything.
That's a funny one, Dave, because...
But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God.
You know, I think when I was working on some material in Second Corinthians, there's a chapter there, chapter 11, I think, is in Second Corinthians, where Paul lists all these things that he's gone through. I mean, it's a nasty list, you know, beatings, floggings, and wandering at sea, and so on. And he finishes up by saying, besides that, I'm under the daily pressure of my worries for all the church. So here's exuberant Paul saying, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Then he turns right around and says, but actually, I'm worrying all the time.
Well, that sounds like his comments in Romans 7, where he's wishing to be something he's not and struggles with what he wishes he had overcome. This is my favorite text in all of the Bible. Because it illustrates a strategy, it seems to me, identifies a strategy in how to cope with those worries. That you place yourself in the context of God, you identify what your perceived needs are, and then you remind yourself of ways that God has taken care of you in the past, and that gives you confidence for the future. It's just a wonderful roadmap for me.
Yeah. Dave, any more comments on that?
No, I'm waiting for you to go to the next passage.
All right, short. Because our time is up, almost. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. You're waiting for it. Now your comment.
Yeah, I like that one because it seems to project a continual process. Grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you start somewhere and you keep going, and even when you get to heaven, it probably doesn't finish. So.
Yeah.
And I presume this is a pretty balanced awareness of God, that that to grow in the grace of God is an experience, and to grow in the knowledge of God is content. So you have both the practical side of life and the intellectual side of life that are all wrapped up together as a balanced Christian living.
And those two can often work together to complement each other as we work and grow together. Our discussion for next time is healing broken relationships, and that also could be tied in with the this business of thinking new thoughts, but we'll have to wait and do that next week. I want to thank both of you for your contributions this week, and I want to also thank Chad Ofterhauer for his work as our engineer, and for the listeners for listening in for the good word. I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.